You ever wonder how a pastor sits down and begins to write a sermon throughout the week? Usually when I go home on Sunday evening, that's when I start to think about it. You know, there's a lot of times you would probably think that you sit down and you open the Word and there's this great deep level of prayer and meditation. Well, today's sermon started with a discussion about a sow last Monday. So a lot of sermons can come from a lot of different ways in our life. You know, it's not like God's just regimented us to the Bible to teach it. There's all these things going around on us on a daily basis that He's equipping us for, that He's teaching us, that He's encouraging us with, that He's showing us all of these things. And it may be the field that you work in. It may be in the school system, or it may be in the hospital. But all of those circumstances you're in, God has a divine purpose for each one of them. And it's not all necessarily inside the box that we've created. Like these boxes are boxes that we keep on the farm. You know, used to we kept everything on a shelf. Well, then we realized that we can never find anything because the shelf, it gets moved, it's this, it's that. But if you put it in a box, all of this equipment, these are for Wyatt's hogs. Everything that he uses for that hog is in that box. And when he goes to the hog pen, he takes that box with him. And when he's done there, everything goes back into that box, and he carries it back and puts it where it's supposed to be. Do we treat our faith like that? Do we keep it in order? Or does it look like parts of my garage that just have stuff slung all over the place? And when I need it, it seems like I spend more time cleaning up and looking for it than I actually do getting the job itself completed. Our faith is a lot like that. As we move into this season of Lent, it is a time to reflect on those things that are a little cluttered in our life. Is there something in your life that needs to be restored? Is there something in your nightlife that needs order? Not nightlife. I don't know where that came from. Jeez. Maybe it does. It's there for a reason. Maybe it does. Praise the Lord. Is there something in your life that needs restored to give you a focus? I've tried to do a lot of things in my life. And a lot of it, it seems like we're geared to try and do this on our own ability. I can promise you, you will be disappointed at every turn you make trying to do this in your own power. You'll constantly feel like you've failed. You'll constantly feel like you've fallen short. You'll be depressed. You'll spend more time worrying than you do actually moving in joy. You'll never see the goodness of God. You'll only see the strife of your life in the world. We do this in God's power, in our closer walk with Him, in our relationship with Him. And in the Lenten season, we always hear these things about, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give this away for 40 days. I'm not going to drink this. I'm not going to chew that. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to give something up. And I'll tell you, all of those things can be good. Because the better you take care of the temple, the healthier the Holy Spirit within you. But there's so much more to it than that. That's almost like scratching the surface of your faith. It says, now faith is confidence, and we're out of Hebrews chapter 11 today. Faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance for what we do not see. It's not that I can see God today, but I can see something of God in each of you, in the way you respond, in the way you talk, in the way you reach out, in the way you love, the way you nurture. Kelly this morning back there, where did you have your kids? One in front of you holding them, the other one was hugging her. Those kids will remember that forever. And that moment will be a part of shaping those kids' identity for generations to come. There's going to come a day when your children pass that on to their children, because they got to feel that love and affection of praise and worship in church with their mom holding them. That is important. It's an important part of who we are in the way we move in the Spirit. But do you have confidence in who you are in Christ? Not in yourself. We know who we are, right? We'll mess it up. We'll fall short. We'll struggle in mighty ways. But when we take all of those burdens that we've accumulated in our lifetime and we lay them at the foot of the cross, we're putting our life in perspective, because that's where it belongs. Jesus did what He did to shoulder burdens that we couldn't shoulder. It's impossible. Confidence in what we hope for, assurance for what we do not see. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that when it is seen, was not made out of what was visible. We believe this. Out of faith. Can you see it? No. Does science explain it that way? No. Do we teach creation in our school system? No. We teach evolution now. Something that science has proven isn't true. So you can't see this. You can't see the part that you believe, but you have faith. Who gave you that? Some of it could have been passed down from generation to generation, right? Like Kelly's doing with her kids this morning. God gives us that heart. He draws us to it. The heart that I have in my faith is something that God gave me. The heart that you have to be here this morning is a heart that God gave you. We can't just acquire it. We can't just pick ourselves up and make it happen. We have to rely on Him to do these things for our life. In this box, I hope Wyatt didn't make a mess of this thing. There's a lot of things in there. This is, of course, Wyatt's favorite. This is his boar spray, right? This smells like a boar. So right now, everything in our barn smells like this because he's played with it every chance he gets. But this is used to stimulate his sows. But there's also things in here like a scalpel. Now, in my life, as a young Christian, I thought that I was in charge of the scalpel. And I needed to dissect things from my life as I saw them fit. And the only thing I did was make a lot of scars that didn't need to be there. There's a great physician and a surgeon that knows more about your life than you do. And all of those things that you see as a problem are all of the things that God sees as an opportunity to teach you something. And to show you something about His great grace, about His great mercy, and His great love. But our initial reaction is to self-diagnose, come up with a plan, and say, I need to cut that out. And God's saying, He's bigger than anything you can dissect. Much bigger. Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. We talked about this several weeks ago. Both of these men made an offering, and they both thought it was good. And God said what to both of them? It is good. Both of their offerings were good. They were just fine the way that they are. But He said today, He's found favor in Abel's offering. Out of faith, do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your offering today is good enough? Do you believe that? Do you accept that? Because it is. It is good enough. Why? Because God said so. And the only thing you're doing by second guessing that is putting yourself in Cain's seat. You're doing the same thing that Cain did. Looking at those around you that God has maybe found favor in certain areas. It's that jealousy that drives us. Do you have the faith to know that what you have offered today is pleasing in the sight of God? What have you offered? It's more important than the offering. It's more important than anything else you have. It's the one thing that God desires more than anything else here today. You. You're here. You've offered yourself to Him. There will be no greater offering in your life. He puts that's paramount. It's above everything else you can give, is to put a heart in front of Him that's willing to be nurtured and willing to be dissected piece by piece by the great physician. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. What's that saying about Abel? Abel was murdered by his own brother. But the offering that he made in this life is something that moves in eternity. Do you realize that the way you live your life today will echo in eternity? Do you realize that? It's not just a choice that we're making for today. The choices we make today are forever. And they're going to make an impact on forever. Hebrews 11:5-6. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see and was not found because God had taken him. There's two guys in the scriptures that I can think of that were taken up who actually didn't die. They were taken from this life into the afterlife. One is Enoch. Who is the other one? Elisha. Say it again. Elisha. There you go. Elisha. So here's one of the two. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that what? That pleased God. That pleased God. One, what is your testimony? What would your testimony be to someone today that you know needs to hear it? What would you say to them? That's something that is pleasing to God in our faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So let's go back to Abraham. The father of all these nations. Did he bind himself in a bunch of laws and rules? Or did he move in faith? Moses, when he walked across the parted waters of the Red Sea, at what point did he step in that water? What was the tide? Were the waters already parted before Moses stepped in? No. The water was at high tide when Moses stepped in. And once he got in there with his faith, then God did what? He parted the waters. There's a lot of times in our lives we're sitting there saying, God, I'll do this. I'll step out there. I'll walk across that ocean right here from the shore, on the safe sand with my blanket and my umbrella. And then once you part those waters, I'll step in. And God says, that's not faith. That's not how faith works with God. God says, get in there when it's as deep as it can get and trust me in those times, and then we'll take a walk. right? But we have a tendency to keep ourselves as safe as we possibly can. It tells us in the end times, one of the messages amongst the church and in our society will be two things, safety and prosperity. And those two things are paramount in everything that you see advertised today. Without safety and without prosperity, it's like we live in a culture that doesn't see the righteousness of God. It's almost we become confused. We're associating that with God being a part of someone's life, and nothing could be more untrue. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Joseph was taken to a foreign land, raised to second in command out of his faith in God. He could have sit there and dwelled on all of the things that were wrong in his life. Probably no one in the Scriptures would have had more things pulling at his conscience than Joseph. But he allowed none of that to affect the faith that he had in God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those gloves seem to be the most important thing we focus on in our life today. What keeps us safe? I can tell you those gloves are awesome, but without faith in them working, it doesn't do me any good to use them. Do you have faith? Are you struggling somewhere in your faith? Are you doubting what God can do with you in certain areas of your life? Are you frustrated because something hasn't happened yet? Well, I can promise you, if it hasn't happened yet, it wasn't meant to be yet. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with the faith. Have you lost friends because of your faith? Have you been at odds with neighbors over your faith? Have you been separated in society or work because of your faith? Good. Good. Christians live lives that are set apart from the world. Christians live lives that are not of the world. There's going to be places that our faith takes us that we're going to seem isolated. It's going to seem like a lonely place at times. Noah, could you imagine him giving up all of that to live on a boat simply with his family and a bunch of animals that needed taken care of? That's good faith. So we jump around in the Scriptures a little bit here. I like this picture. It says, in Him we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Do you know that God loves you? Is there any doubt in your mind? If there's a doubt in there, rebuke it. Because He does. He's found favor in you for who you are right now. No questions asked. But it seems like Christians have crawled into a hole for the sake of keeping on their gloves, for the sake of not facing any persecution, for the sake of not being talked bad about. Listen, that's going to happen anyway. Regardless of how much effort you put into it, that's going to happen. It's biblical. It's in the Scriptures. That's a part of the testing of our faith. It says, I'm certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Here's where we come back to joy. When you look at your community, when you look at your life, your job, your family, the places you live, do you see the goodness in it? If not, you need to retrain your brain because there's a lot of good there. If not, you need to allow God, you need to ask God to take His scalpel to your life and allow Him to dissect some things that have become a problem, that have become a dead weight to your life. Because if you don't have joy, joy is a part of your faith. It doesn't mean you won't have struggles. But you should be seeing the joy in your life. You should be seeing the goodness in your husband and wife. The goodness in your children. Can you see the goodness in your children when they've made you so mad that you're talking through your teeth at them? No, I can't. But after I'm finished being mad, I should be able to get back to that. Amen? Life is a lot like that. Joy. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. There is no greater reward than to be saved. There's no greater joy than to live a resurrected life or a resurrected marriage or a resurrected friendship or having someone who is willing to bear your burdens with you. There's no greater joy. So in the Lenten season, yes, if you're focused on the caffeine or the chocolate, do that. Do that. But also put these things in the box too. If you put some focusing on the goodness in there, if you focus on the joy in there, if you focus on being bold, those are things in the box that will help keep your faith in order. Because without them, we don't live lives set apart from the world. We're just like it. We're just like it. Where are you in your faith this morning? Is there something you need to ask God to put in that box, or is there something you need to ask God to take out of it? We do both. There's been things I've put in that box over the years that I needed. As I've grown, I don't need them as much, but I need something else to be put in there. What needs dissected from your life in this season of Lent? What do you need to focus on? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we pray that you let your message seep into us this week, Father God. We pray that it falls on our spiritual ear. And help us to see our life with a spiritual eye, Father God. Help us in this Lenten season to move in faith that is bold and that is confident, Father God. Help us to see a faith that is full of goodness, Lord God, and help us to have a faith that's full of joy. Lord, we pray as the great physician and the great surgeon that you would take that scalpel to our life, Lord God, and finally dissect those small parts of us that need to be reshaped and need to be made new again, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, to be called sons and daughters into the inheritance of eternal life. Father God, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen.